This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
It's World Wide Wave time, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Tonight, you have Chris, Dean, Heath, and myself, Matt, taking you around the world, away from the heat of Melbourne, into the chilly breezes of the former Soviet state of Kyrgyzstan. Now, this is a country with gay clubs in its capital, Bishkek. It has a wealth of gay support organisations throughout the country. Yet what is causing so much fear amongst the gay population? There are reports of abuse and extortion directly aimed and repetitive extortion aimed at gay people. What is the government's response? To understand what gay life is like in Kyrgyzstan, tonight we're speaking with Anna Keery from Human Rights Watch in Bishkek, the capital of Kyrgyzstan.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil, listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
You're on the World Wide Wave, where tonight we're in Kyrgyzstan. Let's look at some of the fun, fast facts around Kyrgyzstan.
So, same-sex relationships have actually been legal in Kyrgyzstan since 1998. And even more surprisingly, there's an equal age for consent for both homosexual and heterosexual acts, which is quite rare in this region, but also very rare around the world.
So they're actually one of the leaders in the region in terms of LGBT rights.
They are. As you mentioned before, they have over 10 organisations working on LGBT rights in various capacities. You know, they have a lively LGBT scene, but at the same time, as we'll hear later, they also have some very serious problems to do with human rights abuses that are going completely without any sort of penalty.
Now, something we didn't quite tackle with Human Rights Watch tonight, but there is reports of discrimination in the healthcare system as well. Very little education within the healthcare system of LGBT issues, and therefore just not being very friendly and welcoming.
And actually, I think we should do this thing, because we were saying to people before the show, oh, we're doing Kyrgyzstan tonight. And people are like, oh, yep. Oh, Kyrgyzstan, totally know where that is. No one knows where Kyrgyzstan is. Kyrgyzstan
is one of the stands. There's a whole range of stands.
Oh, there's exactly. So many angry Kyrgyzstanis
could
right
you
now.
Pick it out on the map? No. So we're going to tell you where it is. It's bordered by China in the east. Kazakhstan is just north. Uzbekistan is to the west. And Tajikistan is to the southwest. So now you kind of get a picture of where it sits. And the official language is Russian, but the dominant religion is Islam, 80% of the population being Muslim.
Wow, 80%.
And 16% Russian Orthodox.
Quite different to the other countries, or certainly to Russia in the region there.
It's incredibly different. And for a country with an 80% Islamic population, they've been incredibly progressive in terms of trans rights, which is quite unusual in similar countries. So in 2011, Kyrgyzstan passed a new gender marker legislation, which means that trans people are able to change their gender on their identity documents, but they no longer need to show that they have been interacting with a medical institution, and they don't have to show that there's been any medical intervention.
That's incredibly progressive.
More progressive than us,
More progressive than Australia in many ways. Perhaps on the ground, though, it's not quite being fulfilled. So there are also reports of transgender people who find it very difficult to find employment. Even things like opening bank accounts or signing legal documents are quite onerous, because they've got to justify their gender, and the support mechanisms aren't quite there. So good news, but more to be done.
Yep, definitely more to be done. So trigger warning for listeners, there's some quite disturbing things happening in the country. In particular, lesbian and bisexual women, there have been many reports that they've been subjected to forced marriages and also curative rapes, which is pretty terrible. And one particularly, a prominent LGBT organisation found that 25% of lesbian and bisexual women women had been forced into unwanted sexual contact. So that's a pretty worrying and enormous statistic coming out of Kyrgyzstan.
And 55% of LGBT people name the family and their relatives as their main concern. So issues around being gay and coming out are amplified, I guess, with that being a heightened part of culture.
56% of them had families that tried to force them to change their sexual orientation or gender identity through persuasion or by sending them off to a psychologist or psychiatrist. And some families arranged meetings with men, married their daughters off, or used violence or house arrest to try to force them to change.
Yeah, so it looks like in the 15 years since legalisation, Kyrgyzstan still has quite a long way to go.
Progressive, but not quite there. We're going to learn more about that as we look into the issues with Anna Keery from Human Rights Watch. If you wish to send us a message, you can SMS us on 0427 Joy949 as Paul has done. His friend Vlad had to flee Russia last year when two of his mates were questioned and threatened. They were trying to get his friends to state if he was gay. But yeah, Putin, he says. Now, this, Paul, thank you for messaging in from Sydney. This is a big issue that we are tackling tonight and hearing firsthand from inside Kyrgyzstan of how the police are operating and operating pretty much extortion rings against gay men in particular. We are exploring all that with Anna Keery from Human Rights Watch.
This is Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament and co-president of the Parliament's LGBT intergroup, on the World Wide Wave.
Where the World Wide Wave team is taking you tonight to Kyrgyzstan. Now, Kyrgyzstan, as we've reiterated, is way up north next to Russia. This issue came to light from Human Rights Watch, and we're speaking tonight with Anna Keery. Anna Keery is with Human Rights Watch in Bishkek, the capital of Kyrgyzstan, where Human Rights Watch released a report titled, "They Told Us We Deserve This, Police Violence Against Gay and Bisexual Men." It's a report that details the stories of 40 gay and bisexual men who suffered a range of abuses at the hands of the police in Kyrgyzstan, including physical, sexual and psychological violence, arbitrary detention and extortion under the threat of violence or exposing the victim's sexual orientation to family and friends. And we spoke earlier tonight to Anna Keery. So this report has just been released and it tells of police abuse and extortion. How did you find out about this issue?
I was myself an activist for a long time in Kyrgyzstan, so I used to go myself and get gay and bisexual men out of police stations. So I knew this problem existed for many, many years. So then when I had a chance with Human Rights Watch to document them and analyze what's going on and identify patterns more publicly and expose this violence.
Being gay is actually legal in Kyrgyzstan, so why is there so many issues with police?
So police found a group of people that say no, will not be complaining about police abuse and about extortion because they just have too much to lose. So this is one of the reasons why the police continue with this. And not only do they seek out gay and bisexual men through dating websites and in parks, in hotel rooms, and they also, when they detain one gay man, they ask him for contacts of other gay men to make sure that they can extort more money.
If people draw attention to the abuse of police against gay and bisexual men, does anything happen, or do the police usually get off without any charges?
So the issue is that very few gay and bisexual men actually file complaints. Out of 40 men that I have interviewed, only 2 file complaints, and only in one case there was something similar to an investigation, even though it didn't bring any results. Currently, I mean, the Ministry of the Internal Affairs told us they're willing to investigate this kind of complaints. However, they need people to identify themselves. And this is a big issue for gay and bisexual men. So it's a bit of a dilemma that the government says they're willing to investigate, but they cannot provide a confidential mechanism or protect confidentiality of victims.
If it's the police that are the problem, who would run such an investigation? Is it the police checking up on themselves?
Yes. So, I mean, basically they recommend that three different institutions could take this up. So it either could be General Prosecutor's Office of Kyrgyzstan, or it could be the Ombudsman's Office, or it could be the National Torture Prevention Center. And the current issue is that when General Prosecutor's Office investigate police abuse, they usually, because they don't have their own investigators, they rely on police investigators, which basically means that it's police investigating police abuse.
And you mentioned that in these complaints, the police are unable to protect confidentiality of the people who are making the complaints. So do you think that implies that there isn't any real intent to look into solutions for people who have suffered these abuses?
I mean, I want to believe that the government is willing and ready to investigate, and I hope that there will be investigations happening this year. I mean, I think it's like, the issue is from both sides. In order for a gay man to be able to file a complaint, he would probably need to be out to his family, and he would probably need to be more or less, feel more or less protected by LGBT organizations or mainstream human rights organizations. So I think that in order to be able to solve this issue, there would it would have to be a concentrated effort from various agencies, not only from the government, but also from the NGO community in Kyrgyzstan.
Is this just about money, about greed, or is there a cultural issue at play where being gay is not accepted?
I mean, it is definitely also homophobia, because the kinds of things that gay and bisexual men hear when the police detain them is, I mean, it's very homophobic thing. There are also threats of sexual violence, and even in cases when, I mean, there were two cases that I have documented that gay men were detained on alleged theft, and when the police found out that they were gay, the kind of torture they experienced was much worse, because immediately it was about their sexual orientation as opposed to alleged theft. So there's definitely homophobia to the cases.
Hello, Australia. This is Gabrielle from Luxembourg. From the other side of the world, we share in your fight for same-sex marriage. Good luck to everyone at Joy 94.9.
And you were listening there to Anna Keery from Human Rights Watch in Bishkek in Kyrgyzstan, filling us in on some of the extortion and intimidation being undertaken by the police against the gay community. Interesting thing there, the dobbing in a friend, and that came up in our message from Paul in Sydney, that the police, on arresting somebody and questioning them, they tried to get them to state, you know, if they were gay and who their friends were.
I'm not sure if it's enterprising or lazy. You know, they sort of, you know, catch someone and then, so, anyone else, you know, who we could extort or maybe, you know, wring a few bribes out of or anything.
Except
along those
lines. Except not done quite as nicely as you are there.
No, I suspect there's a bit more in the way of car batteries and beatings involved. It's awful.
It really puts the person that has been captured or arrested in a really difficult predicament. I mean, you obviously wouldn't want to refer things to your friends, but there's physical assault, even reports of rape taking place.
I expect one of the side effects of this behaviour is that it helps divide the community as well. So people may feel that it is dangerous for them to have connections within the community and have those, you know, those relationships, because they're worried that if they do get picked up by the authorities, they might end up revealing things about people that people just don't want to know.
And even just this thing about, I mean, homosexuality is legal. You get onto a gay dating site, see somebody you like, meet up. There's a story here of a 32-year-old man in the report released by Human Rights Watch. He was invited on a date, what he thought was another gay man, but when he arrived, police handcuffed him and took him to the police station. They beat him, forced him to write a confession and to give them the contact information for his family and his employer. So using employment as another way of, you know, making threats and behaving badly.
Yeah, it looks like a climate of fear really is trying to be spread throughout the country. If you know that you can't go to the police because, as Anna said, there's no guarantee of any confidentiality mechanisms, or that your complaint will even go to a higher level and that it'll be heard. And then I suppose always the risk of you being extorted for the details of your friends and tortured even.
And what's interesting is that if you do refer it to the somewhat Orwellian titled Ministry of Internal Affairs, in order for them to actually investigate these allegations,
they go to the police.
Yeah, you need to sort of explain who you are.
Can you tell us, did you mug and rape this guy? Oh, no, sir, not at all.
But also you've got to say, oh, the reason I was arrested is because, or sort of, you know, picked up by the police, even though it's not illegal to be gay, is because I, you know, am gay. Oh, is that so? You know, it's a catch-22.
It kind of demonstrates the need for an outside voice, a rights organisation to get involved and to push the government to look at this in a proper and effective way. And we're going to explore that some more with Anna Keery from Human Rights Watch.
Hi, my name is Kenneth. I'm from LGB Denmark. You're hearing me on the Worldwide Wave.
Welcome back to the Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight we are in Kyrgyzstan, a landlocked country and a former Soviet state.
We've been talking about the issues of violence and intimidation against gay men. We're speaking with Anna Keery from Human Rights Watch. And yes, in this next segment, we do actually discuss issues to do with lesbians as well. There are also reports of repeated incidents that gay men are targeted repeatedly over a number of years. Is that something that is widespread?
I was actually, as I was looking through different media articles about the reports released, I found an article from 2005 about the same issue. I mean, I think it has been going on for a long time. And our earliest case we have documented was in 2004.
Have you also found in your research that lesbian women or bisexual women or people who identify as trans or other gender diversities are also targeted, or is it mainly at men?
So in 2013, there was also a lesbian couple that experienced extortion from the police. But, I mean, police definitely target gay and bisexual men a lot more often. In terms of transgender people, they're also targeted. There is one specific case in the report when a transgender man was targeted, but he was stopped by the police to be gay. And I mean, transgender women is a different story. I only know of two transgender women in Kyrgyzstan, but they are subject to police abuse very, very often.
There are gay nightclubs in the capital, Bishkek. Does that just make it easier to target gay men, do you think?
I mean, police basically, they find different ways to find gay men. I think most abuse actually happens via dating websites and via detaining gay men. Like, they detain one and then they basically seek out all of his contacts.
Can you see a way forward? I mean, you're calling on the government to take action. What action do you expect them to take?
We would like the government to establish an independent complaint mechanism, which would ensure high level of confidentiality. That would be one of the really important steps, which would enable not only gay and bisexual men, but also other people who are fearing retaliation to be able to complain. I mean, we also really would like the government to publicly condemn this kind of police abuse. I mean, so far, the Ministry of Internal Affairs said that the claims of the report are unfounded. And we're quite upset about it because we thought, in the conversation that we had with the Ministry of Internal Affairs, without the media, they were quite open, saying that they're ready to investigate and acknowledging that this kind of abuse can possibly happen.
Does Kyrgyzstan have an active LGBT civil society that are also pushing for this to be investigated?
Kyrgyzstan has a lot of LGBT organizations. There are at least 10 in different cities. In general, in the region, Kyrgyzstan stands out for having a very vibrant civil society. I also hope that other human rights organizations, for example, organizations that work on torture issues, would also be willing to take up these complaints and assist gay and bisexual men in filing complaints.
So have the LGBT organizations in the country also experienced intimidation by the police or blackmail or some of the other problems that individuals have been facing?
So yes, the police, not so much now, but in the past, there were police raids of LGBT organizations before they took action against the police. So that was like 2008, 2007, not anymore.
And have you found you have been getting international support for raising this issue?
The local diplomatic community is quite supportive, and I think they will be raising these concerns with the government on different occasions. So, I mean, in terms of international support, I think that's because Kyrgyzstan is not really a country which a lot of people know about. So I think there is a lot more attention to Russia right now. And I mean, I understand that it's extremely important to pay attention to Russia and what's going on there. I mean, I would prefer to have more international support to Kyrgyzstan, to be honest, and more media attention. But I mean, I also understand that there are, you know, all sorts of issues with which countries are more important.
Anna Keery from Human Rights Watch, thank you for speaking to us on Joy
94.9. Thank you.
Hi, this is Janne, Mr. Gay Finland, and you are listening on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
So we're in Kyrgyzstan tonight, and we just heard from Anna Keery from Human Rights Watch talking about police extortion and gay and bisexual men in the country. And she mentioned at the end there that she was hoping that the international community would come together and focus a bit more attention on what's happening in Kyrgyzstan rather than the neighbour Russia, because obviously quite a lot of attention has been focused on the gay propaganda laws there. And we were just wondering, actually, you know, in some circumstances when international pressure can seem to be very persuasive, but then there are an equal number of countries that we visit each week where international pressure is used as kind of a distancing tool, you know, that LGBT rights are something that belong to the West, and countries use that to distinguish themselves from that kind of pressure.
Particularly in Africa, and even we spoke about that last week. And in fact, Nigeria, we raised the question there of, was Russia, you know, did the world drop the ball on Nigeria's very harsh anti-gay laws because they were so focused on Uganda and Russia? Now, our guest at the time didn't think so, but it's this balancing act, isn't it, on whether you get involved or whether you don't.
I mean, what is it? Do you think it's political? Maybe it's the location. If a country is close to Europe, then perhaps they might want to follow the European way. But then again, we talked to Mongolia a few weeks ago, who are sandwiched between Russia and China and yet have some amazing LGBT laws. So
maybe there's not enough outrage to go around internationally.
We are here to raise the issues. And in fact, Mongolia is a great example of advancing gay rights. And you can hear that podcast on our website at joy.org.au/worldwide wave. Now, there is some fairly extreme violence that is mentioned in the report to do with everything from rape to homophobic taunts. And we raised the issue there with Anna of how much this is a cultural issue. So they seem to be going through this cultural change whereby they've come to a degree of acceptance in terms of homosexuality being decriminalised, but the culture hasn't quite caught up with the laws.
And something I found quite interesting, actually, is that the Human Rights Watch report and Anna herself never mentioned the input of religion, which makes me think that even though this country is dominated by Islam, religion doesn't seem to be playing as big a part as other social factors in making, you know, this kind of extortion a problem.
Could that be because Islam is not as, centrist as other sort of Western religions, in the sense that it's not like, say, the Catholic Church or, you know, the Russian Orthodox Church with a really strict hierarchy and everyone reporting to, you know, one cardinal or one bishop?
I mean, it could be because unlike other Islamic states, you know, Kyrgyzstan isn't governed by Sharia law, I don't think. They're actually I'd never heard of this kind of governing. They're called a unitary parliamentary republic. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe there is a strong separation of state and religion and it just doesn't seem to be playing a part. Or maybe it's there simmering under the surface.
And there seems to be a lot of the countries in that area of the world, religion doesn't seem to cut across politics as much as some others. Certainly in places like Mongolia, it wasn't as big an issue as well.
But then, you know, in neighbouring Russia, we see that the Orthodox Church is actually one of the very big players in pushing forward these gay propaganda laws. So hard to tell.
Indeed. Now, we thank Human Rights Watch for bringing this to our attention, and so we can explore the wonders of Kyrgyzstan with you tonight.
Bonjour, je suis Sébastien Lipschitz, et je suis sur Worldwide Waves on Joy 94.9.
You're on the World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight we have been looking at Kyrgyzstan, but it's time to look a bit broader and look at the worldwide wrap, what's been happening in LGBT news around the world this week.
And when you say look a bit broader, you mean let's go to our first Russian story for this week.
they have been hogging the limelight. It really makes you wonder what's going to happen after the Sochi Games end.
Yeah, well, you know, this is actually not such a depressing one like we usually do when we find news articles from Russia. This is actually quite encouraging. So there's this group called Children 404. And you know when you're on the computer and you get a website which isn't found,
like an error,
and it says error 404.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's meant to stand for LGBT teens who just aren't seen in Russia. And what this website has done, it was started about 1 year ago now, is teens can anonymously share their personal stories and seek advice from psychologists who are also on this website. And they've published thousands of letters, and they have more than 15,000 young people from Russia who are involved in this website. So it's all quite wonderful. Unfortunately, now that the government is starting to crack down on groups like this, Children 404 looks like it's going to have to close. But the people who are running the group have said that they'd like to start it up again, hopefully from a server where it won't be able to be shut down.
Fingers crossed. Also in the good news section, we've got anti-gay legislation rejected by Bulgarian Parliament. So Bulgarian MPs have rejected a controversial legislative amendment providing criminal punishment for openly professing one's homosexual orientation. The amendment to Bulgaria's criminal code was proposed by nationalist party Ataka and was swiftly seen as harsher than the notorious allegedly anti-gay legislation in Russia. So the proposal provided for 1 to 5 years in prison and a massive fine for persons who, by organising or participating in events, rallies and parades, or through the media and the internet, publicly manifest their own or other person's homosexual orientation. So it got rejected in November by the Parliamentary Committee on Human Rights because it was unconstitutional and discriminatory.
Hooray!
And just plain wrong.
Yay!
Good on you, Bulgaria.
Thanks, Bulgaria.
Okay, now we're heading over to America for a change of heart. Last week, Coke was under fire from the LGBTI community from preventing users from adding the word gay to a social media campaign. Coke has made headlines again, this time for including gay parents in their Super Bowl ad.
Ooh.
The Super Bowl ad, which aired over the weekend, features Coke's new It's Beautiful campaign, and the ad includes a montage of images designed to show the diversity of America's people as they sing a multi-language version of America the Beautiful. And the ad includes images of a gay family at a roller skating rink.
Aww. Do you think it's tokenistic? They're trying to fight the flak, or do you think it's genuine?
No, I don't know, because Coke are one of the first companies in America to have interracial commercials back in the 70s. So they had billboards showing sort of young people sitting on park benches from various races, sort of, you know, enjoying Coke together. So I wonder if there is a historical precedent there and that they don't want to be on the wrong side of history.
I reckon marketing just got unlucky. They were like, let's support this big event. And then the world came out and picked up on the human rights abuse, and now Coke look really bad.
Now, all that good news must come to an end. And which country do we go for that? Well, unfortunately, it's to our own. The Australian government has appointed an anti-gay education author to head the school curriculum review. So Kevin Donnelly, who is a well-known conservative think tank and person, has been appointed to head up this review. Now, in the past, he has come out when in the discussion about LGBT issues being raised and taught in schools and being inclusive, he has come out and authored previously, "Forgotten is that many parents would consider sexual practices of gays, lesbians and transgender individuals decidedly unnatural, and that such groups have a greater risk in terms of transmitting STDs and AIDS."
Don't you love that word, many? It means some, more than a bunch. You know, we just, who knows how many.
Group of his friends sitting around the table.
Probably. I'm hoping that people will just see it as patently ridiculous.
Well,
further discredit this terrible duo that have been hired for the education reforms.
The book is from 2004, so I'd like to think that he's dropped his troglodytic views since then, but you know, then again, he could be completely ossified. We don't know.
We will wait and see. Now, some good news turning to India, where Mumbai has had a record turnout for the Gay Pride. And we've done a show recently on India, which you can hear at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. So 5,000 people turned out. It's the biggest Pride march in Mumbai that they've had, which is very exciting.
Which is quite interesting, considering they've just recently recriminalized same-sex sexual activity.
Yeah, so a bit of a... Well, I wonder if that's actually led to an increase in interest in it. So
possibly.
Yeah. And one more from England, where it's actually a weather report. It's Raining Men has re-entered the UK's official top 40
Shame
charts.
On you, UK.
Oh, as it should be. When that comes on at the gym, I'm like, yes.
Now, there's a reason for this. It's actually behind a Facebook campaign. A UK councillor by the name of David Sylvester came out and claimed that the recent floods that have hit the UK in December and January were caused by same-sex marriage, and that homosexuality can be cured by Christian prayer. So a whole lot of people got together and started a Facebook campaign to get It's Raining Men to number one. Now, they've done so well in Facebook purchases that it's reached 31 so far, and it's still going up the charts.
Okay, I can support that, I suppose, at a stretch.
This is the Worldwide Wrap, and you're on the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
This is Autumn Butter from LGBT Center of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on Worldwide Wave.
Where tonight we've been in Kyrgyzstan, and a big thank you to Anna Kiri from Human Rights Watch in Bishkek for speaking to us tonight.
And thank you very much as well to Douglas, Catherine, Heber, Neil and Linda who have joined or interacted with our Facebook page this week. You can do that too, W3Joy on Facebook, and also Erin and Paul who SMS'd in, and Robert on our front desk.
So from the team here on Worldwide Wave, we look forward to seeing you next week on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.